Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Yes, Father, we come before you again. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather in such a way. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would be here with us and that you would move in our midst, Father. Be with me and help me to clearly share the thoughts you have laid on my heart. Feed your people. We love you and bless you. In your name, amen. Greetings this morning. It's good to be gathered again. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I think we'll endeavor to read the whole chapter here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, as this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, there's a lot of things in that chapter. I'm not nearly going to cover everything. I'd like to focus in on verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So the title of these few thoughts will be, may peace be multiplied. And we get that here in verse 2. That's what I felt the Lord leading me today. I'd like to share a little bit on peace. We'll start with the word elect. Chosen, set apart as a peculiar church, a peculiar and people. That's who we are this morning. We're God's elect. According to His foreknowledge, I don't understand. Foreknowledge is a big subject, but God knows everything from the beginning. Sanctification is amazing. The act of making holy, the act of God's grace by which affections of men are purified or alienated from sin in the world and exalted to a supreme love of God. That's a miracle that God can take our lives and purify them and make them holy. I'd like to focus a little more on peace here. The burden on my heart is that we could all find peace in our lives, that it might be multiplied. I'm talking more of a inner peace in our heart, in our lives, that we're settled in peace. Sometimes we have this picture of peace. We see these pictures, and sometimes we can picture peace as it can be physical, our peaceful world. But in this world where we live, there's not going to be peace. There's always going to be conflict, and as long as we're here. But in our hearts, in our lives, deep inside, we can have the peace of God that no matter what comes, no matter what trials come, we're at peace, we're at rest, knowing that God is in control. So this peace comes from without the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. This peace comes from the blood of Christ. It's powerful. I don't think we know how powerful the blood of Christ is in our lives. As we observe the fear and anxiety in the world, we get a small glimpse of the mighty victory that Christ has won over the powers of darkness by shedding His blood. I know that in my mind, so many times I hear, you know, we know that Jesus died on the cross and He gave His life for us, and it's there in our minds, but yet I don't think I realize what it really cost, and I don't think I'll ever know that, I guess, probably, but it's an amazing gift to us. May we never forget that the battle has already been won. We can have peace. Christ has already conquered the battle. He is the King. May we rest in this peace. A few verses would be Colossians 1:20. You don't have to turn to them. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Having the knowledge of peace doesn't give us peace. There's also practical things that bring peace in our lives. One of those is obedience. You cannot have peace without practical obedience. If you notice in this verse, we have obedience comes before peace. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now I would like to read this verse in the Amplified. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being, be yours in increasing abundance as you walk closely with God. That's a pretty good definition in itself. So if we look at 1 Peter on down in verse 14, it seems this chapter starts out a little more with all the things that Christ has in store for us. And then towards the end of the chapter, it tells us more what all it takes. There is a sacrifice. It's not this gospel we hear of that you just do whatever you want. There is a criteria. Things you have to do that God asks us to do. So in verse 14 and 15, it talks about this obedience. We are to be as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. As obedient children, and we are to be holy as He is holy in our conversation, in all manner of conversation. That's goes pretty far. So easy for me. Conversation, it goes pretty deep. It's easy to be talking and your conversation just it can turn foolish, and some of that is okay probably, but so easy it can just become, the Bible says we'll be judged according to by our words. The deepest peace comes from practical application and practical obedience. God's people and the authorities in our lives. The definition of peace is pretty broad. It has, in general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. There was a lot more I could have brought with that definition. The word peace is mentioned in every book in the New Testament except 1 John. So it's on God's mind a lot that we have peace. Here's a few points that frees us from peace. Peace is freedom from fear. Our world is full of fear. Our world is the opposite of peace. The last few years, fear has been multiplied in our world instead of peace. Fear is ruling and governing everyone, people, not everyone, but a lot of people. Luke 21:26 talks about men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The picture of the word failing here in the Greek, it gives the picture that men's hearts quit breathing and fainting from fear. Men's hearts quit breathing and fainting from fear. Many times that's what we see. They're just never know what they're going to do next. They're scared. Peace is freedom from agitation. Agitation comes from not being in control. We like to be in control, don't we? What we see in our day is a battle between God and Satan, and God has already won. Man is easily agitated when he is not in control. Peace is freedom from passions that are not of God. There's so many passions in our world today. So many things. It seems like there's more and more sports and all different kinds of everything people get involved in. And they're obsessed. They become obsessed with these things. Desires, lusts. These things drive men away from peace. They think that, somehow we think that if we get this and this and we do this, then we'll have peace. We get to that point and we have less peace than we did before. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Peace is freedom from conflict. The challenge and strain and stress on relationships. 1 Corinthians 3:3. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" The multiplying of peace. How is our peace multiplied? I don't have all the answers to that, but I think the more sanctified we become, the more surrendered we become, the more obedient we are, the more peace we will have in our lives. Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." That will bring peace, esteeming others better than ourselves. God has a blessing for the peacemakers. In Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of God rule, govern, guide our hearts. Help us to manage our will and actions and lead and teach. When I have this peace, I think it'll be easy to see when something is not right in my life. Maybe easier, I shouldn't say, I don't know. Seems like that's always hard, but when we have His peace, we will know. And if we find ourselves without peace, we should repent and do whatever it takes to find this peace in our lives. The deep peace and harmony that comes from letting Christ rule our lives. We don't have to make the decisions. We let Christ lead and guide us in tremendous peace. We know that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." My burden this morning is that our hearts mind, and soul, that there would be peace in our lives and that it would lead us to add value to our lives. May the peace of God keep us from sinking with a world that is full of trouble. What an amazing promise from God. Because we lean on God and trust in Him, He gives us this perfect peace. When we have peace in our lives, God can use us to help others attain peace in their lives. It's contagious. Can we help others find peace? That would bring even more peace to our lives, to help others find peace. I had to think, if our lives and our congregation, and if we all have peace, true peace, think about the world looking on and see this group of people have peace. I think that would really be attracting, and that would win many souls. We live in peace and all these things. Lord, help us. A few verses here in closing. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's about all I have. Just ask that you would pray for me and in this area as well. And I pray that each one of you would have peace in your lives. It's a precious thing. So maybe sometime today, whenever it works, we could sing 999A. So God bless you all.